You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
Oh, this is nice. I love the music kicking in. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 9, Blood Money. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by
Matt Lieberman. Thank you for having me.
Kristen Snyder.
And Phil Svitek.
And Marissa Serafini helming, as always. Thank you very much, Marissa.
Hello.
Welcome. Good to be back. Gilligan and his gang are all together again. A lot of fun to see them. Let's just jump right in. Were you guys anticipating this? I just couldn't wait to see it. I've been dying to see this.
I didn't know how they would, you know, we'll certainly talk about it. How would they handle Hank and, you know, would they pick up right there?
Say it how you said it before.
What did I say?
Well, last time you saw Hank, he was
in the shitter.
There you go. Thank you very much.
And now he's just in deep shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad we started there.
Yeah, thank you very much. But you were really anticipating what they were going to do. Were they going to start it right there? Were they going to do it? And then, of course, we did a flash forward, 6 months later, what do we think, or something like that?
Yeah, you know, and it was interesting because I was listening to Vince Gilligan. He said it's one of those things that he picked up while on X-Files was when a story became too linear, it got weird for him. So he would
jump around because it made two things too conventional. Conventional, that was what I'm looking. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Well, we know that flash forward at the beginning of the season, episode one, you know, it was his 52nd birthday.
Yep.
And it was his 51st birthday, maybe like 3 or 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
From like our current chronology. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like probably 8 months in the future.
Was it weird? I was so weird to see the house
all just
boarded up and graffiti everywhere and the Heisenberg. And I just, I was like, whoa, that's just weird looking.
I feel like that symbolizes his family life being completely gone, not just the house being a wreck. Mm-hmm. I think the whole thing symbolizes, you know, his family not being there anymore, and it's destroyed.
Yeah. And starting with the pool, I think, made that even more apparent, because that has so much history going back to the plane crash in season two.
And sitting out in the back looking and just being out there.
Yeah, the pink bear and the eyeball.
Out there, absolutely.
Yeah, or Skyler walking into the pool. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like purity and like anti-purity, and now
it almost
empty.
felt walking in. Cue it up to Scanner Darkly as Keanu Reeves is walking in. He's just saying like, "What a waste of a truly good house." Yeah. You know, a family could live here, and it just reminded me of that kind of monologue in A Scanner Darkly to him, to Walt walking in.
Yeah.
So the public clearly knows about Heisenberg now, and that he used to live there, by the kids' graffiti in the house. Mm-hmm. They put Heisenberg on the walls, and then we get Carol's reaction.
We can infer that. Yeah, Carol was great.
Her sheer terror.
Yeah.
And the ricin!
The ricin. Yeah,
and the great parallel.
He goes back for the ricin.
With Carol.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the parallel scene later. Yeah, absolutely. And the whole thing about, you know, I went to a man's home is his castle, and then look at what this castle's turned into, this shining thing on the hill that he wanted for his family, and now it's just destroyed and debased by a bunch of people. I thought that was just really,
But everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
So it would seem.
By the way, you know, that's great how, the whole marketing scheme around this part of the season. It's so weird to call it part of the season. Remember my name, and that's, you know, that's all in the billboards.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So,
and all good things must come to an end. There's the other part of it.
All bad things must come to an end.
Thank you very much for correcting me on that. I'm gonna get letters.
By the way, as we're talking about the Volvos and things like that, there's been a lot of articles how Walt picks up traits, and I know Matt, you actually knew about this a little bit before than I did.
It was a theory that got picked up on BuzzFeed earlier this week, that Walt seems to take on traits of the people that he kills.
Mm-hmm. His own little trophy or memento, like
so. Yeah, but like it, almost unconsciously, when mm-hmm. after he kills Crazy Eight in the first season, he starts cutting the crusts off his sandwiches. Now people kind of took that to like a way further degree, talking about how Gus drove a Volvo. Now Walt is driving a Volvo mm-hmm. in these flash forwards. Mike always took his drinks on the rocks, and Walt always took them neat. But then one time last season, I guess the last episode, he takes a drink on the rocks. And now, you know, there's a belief that maybe he kills Skyler.
How much do you attribute that aspect of it to Bryan Cranston as an actor making certain decisions versus Vince
being put in the script?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, who's to know?
Well,
maybe I'm going to have to ask. We have to find that out.
I mean, I think they're working together a lot, too, as Brian's directing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which this episode is directed by Brian.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what you said about Skyler. Why did he kill? Because I don't think everybody made that jump.
Why
do they think he's going to kill Skyler?
They think that he's going to kill Skyler because he rearranges the bacon on the plate on his 52nd birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that that's a bit of a jump.
I think it's a huge jump.
I think that's a huge jump to say that. And I think it's even a huge jump to say that every time he kills someone, he takes on a trait. Mm-hmm. Because if you go back to that scene where he takes the drink on the rocks, he doesn't ask for it on the rocks. Hank just says, do you want it on ice? He's just like, yeah, sure. You know, it's not like a big deal. I don't think that it's that clinical. I think everyone wants it to be a bigger thing than it actually is.
Yeah, they're just looking for it. But, and who knows? Maybe it is.
Everyone wants answers.
I have to say, I don't necessarily agree with that theory. But I have to say, when Walt was talking to the customers at the car wash, by the way, have an A1 day. He sounded like Gus, and how mild mannered he was, and how polite and precise he was. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a little bit of Gus there for me.
Yeah, because Gus would come out in the restaurant and work the cash register and go with the customers.
Have an A1 day. I mean, it just sounded a little bit like Gus.
Help yourself to some complimentary coffee on your way out. Yeah.
And he was very OCD too. Gus was, and then he was talking about the car air fresheners and just how to arrange them in a specific way, which seems very Gus.
Yeah. And to that point, you know, Gus had multiple franchises.
Yes. And now he wants to buy another.
Yeah, and it all makes sense. If we're going to go with the story, we need more of this.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
And, you know,
I love Skyler's reaction. Yeah. Well, there's a car wash
exactly.
Well, she's long since broke bad.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, remaining committed to not staying in the business, to, like, staying out. And it's only been a month, but it appears that, like, a level of trust has been built up there.
Mm-hmm. I think for Skyler, and Anna Gunn said this in interviews, is she's just over it. In the sense of, I can't control this guy no matter what I do.
Skyler, the character's over, Anna Gunn, the actress.
Yeah, and so it's just a matter of, like, okay, just go with his stuff, and you know what, so it's nice to see in that moment when Skyler says, like, there's a car wash I like, you know, at least she's going full measure with this,
right? And what was also when she found out who Lydia was, the way she went after, the way she talked to her, that reminded me how when she went to the hospital and she saw, I forget his name at the moment,
Ted,
thank you, and then Ted says, I'm not gonna say anything, and she turns on a dime and says, good, remember that? And now she's going right out there to be that. She's really protecting now, defending her term. So
her threat to Lydia as sort of a parallel to Walter's threat to Hank in the end, as I feel like Skyler's taking control too, and she's going to be cleaning up Walter's mess and taking out, you know, people as well. And I see that as, you know, Lydia's obviously going to be back, and I feel like Skyler will step in, and she's already made one threat. So I like that we kind of began the episode with a threat and ended it with a threat.
But how far do you think that Skyler would actually go in that sense?
Well, she finally got it all, well, close to what she wanted, which is back to normal. You could say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's out of the business. She doesn't want anything to pull him back.
Yeah.
So do I think she's going to kill somebody? Do you think she's going to go? I say that there's a dark side that's been opened up in her, and I think that she just might. She's got a child. If that child is threatened at all, yeah, I think she could go.
I don't think she's capable. I don't think she's capable of murder. I mean, granted, who thought Walter White would
be
capable?
My point. Mm.
She's lost all emotion.
I think if her children are threatened, I think she's capable of murder.
Exactly. She will take action to protect the family.
Because she'll think it's self-defense anyway.
Exactly.
She'll rationalize the crap out of it. Look how much she rationalized already.
That's true.
And look how acclimated she is now. Oh, it's like, we're done. Right?
And she's kind of
back
like,
to business. Let's just be, you know, Warden June Cleaver now.
She's kind of the CEO of the car wash business, and then there's Walter, like, at the cash register. So he has kind of given her the reins to some point. So I think she will be making moves without his consent from here on out.
Hmm. What do you think, Phil?
I think, you know, just by the fact that alone that she's on the defensive about this and she takes action, you know, towards it, the fact that she knows that it's a rental car and why would someone do that, you know, her instincts are good.
Yeah, she doesn't want anybody to mess with this, man.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, after Kristen's point, I don't think she's going to make decisions or not confer or anything like that. The only reason why she wouldn't is because she's afraid of him. I still think she's afraid of him. I don't think she does it just because she wants to do it on her own.
Yeah. I think it's just easier not to fight
every day.
Absolutely. You know, he's got to give her at least some level of boundary. I mean, they still have to sleep in the same bed, but they're probably not active.
I mean, let's face it. She knows how much he's done.
Yeah.
So why am I going to go up against that? I don't think I can best that.
Yeah. Why would I go up against a killer?
Yeah.
This guy, the man I'm married to, is a killer. He's made people go away with a phone call. He's blown up innocent people.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely put her in a box, but I think in that box she's making moves.
She's found strength.
He didn't even know where the money was until the last episode that we saw, episode 8, before this one. She takes him to see all the money, and that was really when he decided to stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, between that and, as we discover, the positive cancer diagnosis from his MRI, which we didn't know at the end of the first half of the season. That is weird. That is weird to say out loud. The first half of the season.
Let's talk about why that is. All right, fine. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's talk.
It was interesting to learn of why that is, and you know, it would have been just as easily to split it up into season 5 and season 6 and call it that, and we wouldn't have this conundrum as we host AfterBuzz TV.
Okay,
because I'm sure they were worried about that. But
I'm sure they. Well, here's what they were worried about. You know, every time you ever notice on TV shows. So let's say I start off as a consulting producer.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden next season I'm bumped up a little bit. You know, and so guess what happens from season 5 to season 6? Had it gone that way, all of a sudden everyone's pay grade goes up.
Oh snap!
We can't afford, you know.
No.
And so you know what? We'll give you 16 episodes. We'll split it up into 8 and 8. We'll call it season 5. Everyone cool with that? Good. So that's what it was.
Yeah, and where did you come upon this?
I'll give a shout out the Nerdist Network. I've been listening to them a little bit more, and they have a writers kind of thing.
Form.
And you know, Vince Gilligan makes frequent appearances there. And gotcha. You know, I didn't hear it from him, but I heard it on that podcast.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So there you go.
There you go. Okay, from the Nerdist, whatever it is.
So it's there you go. That's fine.
All right, well researched. Thank you.
But at least here's the good news about that is that, you know, they've stated multiple times they've spared no expense in this season, and so if the money's going to go anywhere, let's put it towards the show.
Let's put it on screen,
you know, and keep the writers poor.
Well, Vince is really—he was happy to get the 16. That's what they needed, according to him. That's all they needed to tell the story.
You know, the great part about that, in speaking to him, you know, they were so It's great hearing Vince about how nervous he is about all these different things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, first off, he just admits he's scared to just even get in his car and drive to work. But then to be like the showrunner of a show like this and to not want to disappoint fans, I think was certainly his biggest fear. And so in writing this, they were really meticulous about how they were going to do it. And they didn't, you know, and people have asked him multiple times, did you know kind of the beats you were going to hit? And he said, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was no kind of real barometer. We knew kind of a direction we were going in, but it was, you know, had you asked me how it would have ended up, I wouldn't have predicted this. Mm-hmm. But he says ultimately the result is great.
Yeah, he says the fans will be happy, and there will be blood.
There will be
That's
blood.
What he says.
Yeah.
So
he's also quoted as saying they fit 20 hours of story into 8 episodes. Jeez. So they're just going to burn through story at a crazy rate.
Wow. Which is surprising for Breaking Bad. I mean, would you guys say that's true? I mean, after watching this episode, it still felt like the natural Breaking Bad.
Really? Yeah, it felt accelerated to me.
Really? I didn't think that. I'm going, wow, they're taking their time.
Hank has his whole, he figures it out. He gets the whole investigation. They have a he goes too far and plants the GPS. They have a face-off. Mm-hmm. And Walt basically lets the barrier down a little bit, all in one episode? Absolutely not. That is way faster than, you look even at season 4. There's no way that you would have that much plot built into one episode. That would have been at least 3 episodes.
Are you mad about that, though?
No, it's great.
Because I think it's, I'm so happy that we didn't have to wait till mid-season to get this confrontation. I feel like a lot of shows just waste the audience's time stringing us along. I was so happy that we got to this point in the beginning of the last.
That's surprising because, as John and I watched the first, when we saw it, just the opening shot of going to the bathroom to Hank, was so slow. And so as fast as it is, it's still...
That's what I mean by taking their time. I wasn't talking about plot. I mean, they're in that long tracking shot.
Beautiful shot.
That push in. I mean, just wow, man, they're just taking their time on this.
Yeah,
they don't.
Which I like. I mean, I liked it. But I like when they do that. But.
Well, it was building tension, Mm-hmm. And it was like just the right length. It was so long because it's just like when you discover that, what do you do? Especially like he was, he was mid crap. Do you finish? I mean, I imagine something happened.
Well, that was the fan joke of all season. They should have ended on a boop.
Yeah.
But
maybe not so much.
Maybe not.
No.
Maybe not so much.
I'm just saying that's what the fans wanted.
Yeah. So Walt's cancer diagnosis, and he's keeping it a secret again.
Yeah. Even so much as running the water so they don't hear him retching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, do you think that is the reason why he got out? Is just because of the cancer? Where do you think he is mentally right now?
That's a good question. I have no idea when he knew the cancer was back. So I don't know if it happened after.
Okay. Because, we had the MRI, and then he goes and he looks at the paper towel dispenser that he punched out a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
And I took that as, he's reflecting on him now and him then.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just kind of like, why continue to fight against it when I have everything? I won.
In the end, he has his hair back again, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got that in the first 8.
So he's done with chemo. At that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he still has it.
He still has the cancer.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe he stopped chemo because it wasn't working or whatever.
Or because he has to run.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so tough to get in the mind of Walter White at this point, And it's also interesting kind of for me, they've always said they're going to take him to be Scarface. And so at what point does it become, okay, even for the writers – when do we stop empathizing with him and it just becomes an exercise in writing versus like we still care about this character? And I don't know if they do. You think the writers still empathize with Walter White?
Yeah, but well, look what they did. I mean, he's I'm just a man that runs a car wash and I have cancer. That's it. And that's what he's trying to be. Everything he's doing. I mean, they made us. I said, gosh, he is. He just wants to run his car wash.
Yeah.
But then, just when I'm starting going, okay, he is trying to. What does he say to? He says to Jesse.
Tread.
He says, to Jesse. He says, we just need to live our lives in a decent, whatever. What's the line?
Decent, normal lives.
Normal lives.
Yeah.
And I think part of him really just wants that. Because of the craziness, but how can you have that knowing what you know about yourself and who you are and what you've done? I don't know how you can have a normal, decent life after that. It's crazy. By the way, I love the shot when they were talking about that. Just normal, decent lives. They're sitting there on the couch with $5 million between them and a bunch of drug paraphernalia in front of them. I said, well, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a normal, decent life.
To some people, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, some people.
But so they're making him out to be this guy that just wants to run his car wash and have it all behind him. Doesn't want to have anything to do with Lydia. I'm not going back, all that kind of stuff. But then, just to remind you of everything, Hank says, you did this, you've done this, you've killed these people, you've killed that many people, all those things, just to remind you of everything that he's done.
But we understood why he made all those moves. Like, I he's reasoned for the audience as well that he had to. We've been on his family side.
No,
the
he
whole
didn't
time.
Have to. That's the point. He didn't have to. But that's how, I mean, some people think that. But he didn't have to do any of it.
I feel like to defend, to protect his family and set out to his plan, which we've always identified with him because he's the most powerful character on the show. He's kind of like the anti-superhero that the audience wants to identify with because you wouldn't want to identify with someone who doesn't have power.
Right.
So we've always kind of been behind him and tried to reason for what he's doing. And I've been behind him. I don't see him. He didn't kill Drew, the little kid. You know, Todd did. So if he would have... That would have changed how I felt.
You can rationalize it that easily.
What
about Jesse's girlfriend?
What about
Jesse's
Brock? He was ready to kill Brock.
Yeah. But he didn't.
What about Jesse's girlfriend?
He didn't. He just wasn't planned.
Wow.
He didn't help her, but he nudged her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
I'm behind him.
Brock was attempted murder. But like, here's the thing, though. He didn't have to cook. He didn't have to cook the meth.
Yeah,
he didn't
he
have
set
to
it
go
all
back.
In motion.
He set it all in motion. His old college buddy from Grey Matter wanted to pay for all the treatment.
That's right.
Was going to pay for all the treatment, offered him a job again. You know,
he's
and they
proudful at fault, and a lot of people can identify
but you,
with that.
So do you really absolve him of all that responsibility, of any of it?
Hey, I'm not sending him to heaven, but I'm saying I defend his character, and I'm still behind him as an audience member of the show. I still want him to, you know, not die. I still want him to succeed above all the other characters.
But, okay, so you say that he didn't do all those killings. So because he ordered the killings of all the people in prison, those nine guys, Mike's guys, or however many
guys.
Were, 10 guys, thank you. But he didn't do it, so he's absolved of that, too?
I mean, they were already in prison. I'm just saying, I did not see him kill an innocent
child.
You're
an easy mark. You let it go. Wow.
God. I think most of the audience is behind him.
He did that. He tried to kill Brock. Brock was saved by these doctors, but it was attempted murder. He did attempt to murder him.
Okay, so what do you guys want out of this show? You do not want Walter to live? Do you want? Do you like Jesse? Do you want some justice? Do you want to see him die?
I want justice.
What would be justice?
What would be justice? Justice would be a pair of cuffs and dying of cancer in prison.
I don't think so. I think that justice justice and winning for me would be him out in the woods. Everyone he ever cared about is dead except for him, and he's just out in the woods, you know. And
so you'd rather
he's a mountain man.
You'd rather everybody that he cares for dead. That didn't have anything to do with setting this in motion. You'd rather them be dead than Walter.
I think that's going to be prison for him. He's
that's,
a prison of his own doing.
Okay, but they have
I
to suffer for that?
Prison.
It's potentially more cruel.
That's cruel for him. I think that's potentially
but
more cruel
But to say nothing
him.
Of the people that you just killed.
And he's still winning because he's not dead. I think that's a great ending.
Well, I guess while we're on the subject, there was a poll on the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh yeah,
of how fans would want to see the season end, and so here we go. All right, how should Breaking Bad end? There's a few choices. Walt gets away with it, 14%. Walt goes to jail, 3%. Hank kills Walt, 7%. Walt kills Hank, 7%. Walt lives, but his children die, 10%. Jesse kills Walt, 20%. Walt kills Jesse, 3%. Vince Gilligan will do something better, 36%.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
That sounds about right, yeah.
So, we'll see. We'll see how it ends
Vince
up.
Gilligan will invent new potential ways for people to get justice or be harmed or everyone. It'll turn out that everyone was werewolves the whole time and we'll buy it.
With everybody being so. Go ahead.
Well, that was me.
Beg your pardon.
Well, I'm going to ask. So when Badger's talking about his Star
right,
Trek episode, and Matt, you can talk about why it was incorrect and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously that has to be dissected because in some ways that has to tell us how this season could possibly end because
it has to.
Kirk's. Well, I don't know. There has
theory.
To be
a battle.
Let him get his theory out.
Right,
go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a theory. Kirk has to represent someone. So does Spock, and so does Chekhov. Mm-hmm. And then Uhura. I'm gonna guess that she represents Lydia because she's a female. And then and then who represents who after that?
Uh-huh. Well,
do you have a thought on that? Who's Kirk?
How about this, Matt? Yeah. Start with your theory on why this was just completely incorrect in terms of the Star Trek universe.
It's not then, a theory.
Okay, yeah. But then here's the thing. Before I even make my full conclusion, yeah. and this is why I really wish Kevin was here, I want to know more about these characters because I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So without knowing the full characteristics of Kirk, Spock, then I'm not going to be able to
jump
do
in
it.
Here.
I can help you with that a little bit too. Okay, so, well, first of all, anyone worth their salt knows that there were no replicators in original series Trek. So when he's talking about replicating all these blueberry pies, that's impossible.
But you do realize that he was coming from a meth head.
Yeah, well, so. he's also drawing in stuff from Voyager, as they mentioned. Yeah, so. And then the Gamma Quadrant, which is Deep Space Nine. Yeah, he is just, all over the map with
his
continuity.
Man. That's it. He doesn't know what he's talking
He needs to
about.
Lay off the pot, and he needs to put it down on paper so he can see that it's not a proper Trek fan script. Anyway, so the situation that he put down, right? So it's Kirk, Spock, and Chekhov are all eating pies. Mm. Scotty is
in a transporter room.
In the transporter room, transporting pies right out of Chekhov's stomach. Right. When Uhura walks by and her pointies distract Scotty.
His fingers get all sweaty.
Right. So if in this case Lydia is Uhura, so that's
my theory. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if Lydia is Uhura, then you're basically saying that Walt is Scotty. If he's the one who's going to get distracted.
Well, at the end they say it's down to Spock and Kirk, don't they?
Or no, Spock and Chekhov. Kirk
Spock
and Chekhov. So yeah. Kirk's out of it.
Kirk vomits. I'm going to say that Hank is Kirk. He's an alpha male, alpha dog kind of guy, takes charge, and he also nearly horked in this episode.
But here's the thing. Walt did hork in this episode.
Walt did hork in this episode, but he's no Kirk. He's not he's not a manly man. That's the person he wants to be, but he is more of a Spock.
Okay. Is that your theory? Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did this show for getting me to say all this?
There's also the theory that, hey, this has nothing to, they don't represent anybody. It's just
blueberries and blue meth. Yeah. Sorry, that just occurred to me.
There you go. Well, by the way, you know, to that point, Walt going back, I mean, I think that's going to be a big issue. You know, there's already talk of Europe, just even, you know, vacation for
Czechoslovakia.
And meth is down to 68%. So
the quality is sinking.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's horrible. As a teacher, he's got to hate that grade. But go ahead.
Talking about the transporter, though, they were saying that Kirk would go in there and he'd kill himself again and again, and you'd have a clone. And basically, the transporter was you would basically die, and you'd have a new clone of yourself, and it would know like everything you did. Mm-hmm. But your old self would die. And so I feel like that's kind of symbolizing something with Walter, in that he's, you know, lost himself in copies of copies. And then, because we also got that copy on all the boxes at Hank, going through all of the, you know, different case material, their copy was written all over it. So I feel like they were definitely saying something about copy.
So you think
copy
there's degradation in each generation of copy?
I think so.
And he's slowly
chipping away at pieces of your soul.
I
perhaps.
Think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's like he has much of a soul left.
He does.
What? No, I'm going to say no. Holly is going to be the only one to get out of this show alive, and she is just going to be screwed up.
Well, let's move on to Jesse for a sec, because, you know, he's obviously tormented by the whole thing, as he has been throughout most of the last few seasons. But he's particular. I mean, as Badger and Skinny Pete are going through that whole Star Trek scenario, he is just, you can see him just while he's in his head, he's trying to figure it all out, and then you have that thing right behind him, which is great, some sort of plasma screen or whatever.
I think it's just a metaphor for his brain.
It's all the stuff happening.
It's also, they're stoners and it's a visualizer. It's like catnip.
But he wasn't looking at it, so. I like that he just left. He just left and took all the money with him, and then he comes up. His idea is just to get rid of the blood money, hence the title.
Yeah,
so blood money. He can't live with it, so his guilt is killing him. And I thought the best scene was he and Walt when he tells Walt that he knows what happened.
Yeah,
he knows that he killed Mike. And I thought the waves, and I mean the eyes were welling up and everything, and the fact that he had to. admit it and announce it and, you know, in front and say it in front of, well, I mean, I just thought it was just really well done. You know, not that Jesse isn't always, well, I should say Aaron isn't always doing a great job. But what did you guys think of the storyline? I mean, that, what are they pushing on that? Do you think that like they said, is...
I think, you know, Jesse's been along for this ride for so long, and he's always been over his head, mm-hmm. you know, and Walt has always been the driving force. And so I think it's going to be interesting because I think, you know, there's always been times, I mean, go back to season four where you know, Jesse held him at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. But didn't go through with it. I think, you know, we're gonna build to a moment like that, and it could be a three-way standoff between mm-hmm. Hank and Jesse.
Don't you think if it jumps to that again, he's gonna pull the trigger though?
Yeah.
Well, whenever he finds out that Walt let Jane die and then totally tried to kill Brock, mm-hmm. you know, is I mean, we had a whole episode. If you go back to Fly in season three, mm-hmm. that was just all about that tension. That tension mm-hmm. hasn't gone away.
I hated that episode, by the way.
Why?
I know, I'm the only one.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, Jesse, especially with the whole blood money thing, he has been taking what Walt has said to be truth and proceeding with that truth, and now Walt's kind of coming back on that. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesse's so messed up.
Walt's coming back on that one.
On what he said uh-huh. with the whole blood money thing. And then Walt defended that by saying, I was just trying to, you know, prove a point with mm-hmm. an argument that time. So Jesse had been proceeding with all of what Walt had said was truth. I mean, Walt is responsible for kind of turning Jesse into an adult with ambition, but he's also taken him to, like, these really dark places that he would have probably not gone, you know, had it not been for Walt. And I feel like when did Jesse lose that trust? I feel like it kind of started with, you know, the kid dying, Drew dying, and then him wanting out, and then, of course, him taking Mike's life.
Yeah. Well, I feel like even if you go back as far as when he made Jesse kill Gail.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that was like good an point. Ultimate betrayal. And Walt, even in that scene, he calls Jesse's son.
Yeah, I know. That mm-hmm. was great.
Yeah, and it's just he's
still manipulating. And
he's the ultimate abusive parent.
Oh, it's horrible.
What he's wrought on this, like, on this just kind of idiot kid. I mean, not to say that he's not smart. He just never applied himself, and he just let himself fall into drug use. And you go back to season one, you know, he just doesn't know any other way to get by. He never really intended to be a criminal, and I don't think that he ever... He never wanted it to go this far. He never even dreamed it would go that far. He was just trying to stay high and stay in enough money to be comfortable.
But, I mean, the fact when he says, yeah, okay, whatever you say, hey, Mike's alive. I mean, you know, he knows that he's being lied to now. Now, because before, you could see him wanting desperately to believe whatever Walt said and believing it. And now, he's not believing any of it.
Totally. So why is he still lying to Jesse? Is it because Jesse symbolizes the last bit of Walter White? Because he used to teach Jesse, and so he still wants that to be clean? Like, why lie to Jesse at this point? What is he trying to?
Because he's still trying to control everything. He doesn't want Jesse going off knowing that he killed Mike. Who knows what mm-hmm. Jesse's going to do?
It's the same reason why, you know, I thought it was brilliant by what same Walt reason. Did with Hank saying, like, these are wild accusations.
Exactly.
And he played, you know, in that moment.
He played it great.
Yeah, you know, I would have believed him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he has reason to defend what's going on with Hank, but with Jesse... I mean, I guess he's just trying to keep him under control because he's obviously
been doing
someone
the whole time.
He's not going to.
I mean, haven't you, you know, look at any other kind of serial killer stories or movies, you know, for Marissa and I did the killing, mm-hmm. and it's just that's what serial killer behavior is mm-hmm. just constant lying and being so truthful about it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, Jesse wants justice of some kind, though, so is he going to go after Todd?
I hope so. Todd deserves to die. Todd deserves to die.
I feel like Todd is not to be messed with, though. I mean,
why?
He is a real serial
killer. Todd is crazy.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I fear for Jesse's life. Exactly. Yeah. I fear for Jesse if Jesse goes after Todd.
Totally. Like, just like he kills the kid, and then he keeps the spider in a jar, mm-hmm. and he just starts smiling as he's looking at the spider trapped. And it's like, it's all mine, and he's trapped, and I could crush this jar at any moment and mm-hmm. kill this spider with broken glass. The man is nuts.
I loved that visual. That was great. Thanks for bringing that back.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Kristen Snyder. He is a dangerous man.
But now that he knows, now that he's fully aware that Walter is lying to them, How, I mean, what?
I think he's numbed by the pain of, what am I going to do against this guy? There's nothing, you know, I may know the truth, but it doesn't allow me to do anything with this knowledge.
It's ineffable. There's nothing to be done. The one thing that he can do is get rid of the money.
Give the blow anyway, which was great. he's throwing newspapers.
Yeah. And since when did he start driving a hearse?
No, hearse.
That was a hearse. Like
it's not a hearse.
Yes,
no.
It was.
No, it's the same Toyota thing he's always
driven. It looked like a dang hearse.
It's just old. Yeah, but it's not a hearse. It's the same thing he's always had, which I thought was great.
I mean,
Walt's driving around in his fancy new car, and he's still got his own beat up piece of shit.
And he's outside that kind of jailed dog. What was the dog?
Dog pound.
And it's kind of all barred up. So can we kind of foreshadow that's perhaps at least jail time for Jesse? Is Jesse going to be taken in? Because he's kind of sitting out there outside the bars.
You can make that inference. I won't.
I won't make that inference, but I think, going back to Lydia and things like that, I think Jesse's not out of it yet. If Walt can perhaps to choose because, you know, he's going to force it onto people that he's out, at least in the case of Lydia, I think Jesse, because, they've made so much of Jesse finally learning how to cook meth to such a high level of Walt that, you know, I think Lydia's going to bring him back in and, you know what, eventually that could be jail time.
Could be.
You know, where they get caught.
Yeah.
Except why would Jesse go back? He was the first one who was ready to get
out. Okay, yeah, but also, you know, if you're Lydia, how easy is it, between the two of them, is it easier to get Walt or is it easier to get
Lydia,
Jesse?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think Lydia might go after him. But why would he go back? Only because, look, he's giving away all his money now. And who knows? Why did he get sucked back in the first time? Because, you know, how many times has he been in and out?
Yeah.
I'm sure if he's been manipulated by Walt, Lydia, I'm sure, could figure out a way to manipulate him. I we'd hope he'd be wiser, but he's made dumb decisions before.
I mean, certainly as he's talking with Saul, you know, he's like, you still give money to your ex-girlfriend, which is beyond me.
Right.
You know, so right there is a point of entry.
Yeah. That, and he may just be so, shut down that he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Yeah,
that's true, but he just doesn't want the money. He doesn't want any of the memories. Like, I feel like when he's chucking that out at the slums of Albuquerque, wherever they are, I feel like he just doesn't want any of the memories. He's trying to get all the memories out. It's not even about the money at this point. So I feel like anything that has to deal with Walt, with the meth, he's not going to go near. And we see him in Saul's waiting room, and the receptionist is kind of holding that travel, leisure, dream, escape. It all says on it. So I feel like he's going to try to get as far away as he can.
Oh, I'm sure he wants to, but a junkie's a junkie for a reason.
Yeah, and again, mind you, I didn't say he wants to go back. He's gonna have to go back.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to go back. Yeah,
I don't think so. I think he's gonna be as far
live
away
happily
as
ever
can.
After.
No,
yeah,
I didn't
wonderful
say that. But I think he's gonna try to travel and get away from it all to some extent.
I think
there's
Hank's
no store if
get
he leaves like that. I mean, that may happen at the end of the 8 episodes, but it's not gonna happen during the season. Well, good is to have Jesse be gone.
I think.
Well, I didn't say they wouldn't know where it was. I just think he's gonna
go
run
ahead,
away.
Matt has an opinion.
Okay.
I think Hank gets to him before he can get any kind
that's
of out
think
of the country.
I think Hank turns him.
Hank definitely flips him, or at the very least
tells him everything.
Tells him everything and gives him. I'm wondering if Hank has any way to prove that Walt let Jane die.
I don't know, but that's what I think is going to happen. I think Hank's going to go and tell Jesse the whole story. Jesse's going to, you know, that's the big moral conflict Jesse's going to have now.
Yeah.
Is what do I do now? Hank's told me everything. I want to kill this guy.
Yeah. Here's a question.
Because I don't think Hank's going to have enough evidence to prove everything.
Yeah.
But he does have Jesse, and Jesse could, just by testimony, it could be a huge problem, obviously, for Walt.
Yeah. I have a question, and I apologize because it kind of goes back to Walt. But, who do you think he is defending himself from in this flash forward with his M65 machine gun? Because that's massive, massive firepower.
Yeah.
That's not to take one person out. That's to, you know, defend the Alamo.
Well, there could be so many. I mean, it could be Lydia's people.
It could be the people from the Czech Republic.
Absolutely. That sounds like something that would be good to have European influences.
Sure.
In a Slovakian country.
Yeah, if an entire Slovakian nation bears down on you, you get a big gun. And even going back to like when he and Walter Jr. were watching Scarface at the beginning of season 5, and he's looking at that massive machine gun that Scarface had.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, if Hank does tell Jesse, whenever Jesse finds out the whole thing, if Jesse decides, okay, I'm going to go down in a blaze of glory and I'm going to take him with me, you know that Jesse knows how to get the armor if he needs it.
Yeah. When what's Jesse living for anyway?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he's already lost everything.
And plus, Hank has the power to, if nothing else, lessen his sentence. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's a question of, okay, how much jail time could Jesse get for all this?
I don't think Jesse's going to make it out alive, unfortunately.
We'll find out.
I thought you just said he was going to take off.
I didn't say for the whole end. I just think for, like, you know, a few episodes, I feel like he's going to try to get away from all this. I don't ever see him ever say anything that would, you know, put Walt away. I feel like he
would have done that, though.
Yeah.
Why would he stay just the cash and
in
just
his house with the cockroaches? And
you know, and his best friend Skinny Pete and Badger. I mean, I know they're great company, but...
He needs to get away from those chuckleheads. They are a bad influence.
Yeah. Not Walt. Just the chuckleheads.
Just the chuckleheads. I mean, you go back to, like, it was like the fourth episode of the entire series. Back in the first season, he was done smoking meth. And then they were like, you know, hey, man, you got any more of that crystal? And he's like, I'm taking a break for a while. They're like, what? Come on. Oh, fine. If you don't want to share with us, that's fine. We'll go. He's like, wait. Here, try all this meth that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, he just wants to be loved. He's just a sad puppy who just wants love and affection and will never, ever, ever get it.
No.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
It is kind of sad. Yes.
I had nothing.
Okay, I thought you were saying something.
Okay, great.
I can say something.
Say something. Go.
About Jesse. Yeah, I think a deal's going to be made by Hank. If anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it'll be interesting.
I think that Skylar is going to try to take out Jesse because she's going to see him as a threat to their family.
I think that Huel is going to lose a bunch of weight, and he is just going to come back and waste everybody.
Interesting.
His breathing bothers me. I am worried for his health.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about Hank, the thing we all want to talk about.
Before we're talking to Hank, let's find out. I want to know what everybody else out there thinks. I want you to write in your comments. Let us know what your theories are about how they're going to wrap this up, how Walter and Jesse are going to disentangle themselves from this problem, and whether or not Hank is going to get his man, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
So write in. Let us know. Go to iTunes.com. Where else can they go? YouTube. Where else can they go?
You can go to AfterBuzzTV.com, of course. You know, and let us know. I mean, we got 7 after this.
7 more. And that's it.
Yeah.
Forever.
So write in. Now's the time.
All right, Hank. Let's get on to Hank. I thought, you know, first of all, Hank having a heart panic attack, heart attack, whatever the hell. This is like a
panic
attack.
It was not a heart attack.
Not a heart attack, yeah. No. Panic attack.
Rolled out heart attack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was just weird, man.
Sparked by rage, it looked like.
Mm-hmm. And I think rage and the fact that he's been duped for so long, there's got to be some humiliation in there man.
Is it more humiliation or the fact of, you know, who? Is it because it's Walt or is it because, like, wow, this is the killer?
I think it's both. First it's the killer, it's right there, and then it's Walt. It's all meshed in.
Yeah, it's rage, and then it's also just like how did I miss this? And how did I miss it?
It's so stupid.
Right there. Yeah. And I had him a dozen times, and it's just like thinking over all the different times that Walt specifically screwed up his investigation and realizing that those were all purposeful.
And not even that screwed up him.
Yeah. Yeah. Got him shot.
Got him paralyzed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that scene in the house right after Hank comes out of the bathroom and he moves the curtain away and you see Walter White sitting there and it's kind of like finally revealed the curtain's finally
what does Marie say?
Devil.
You're the devil.
You're the devil.
The devil.
So that was a great scene for me.
Mm-hmm. you know, so my theory of that this would be like Double Indemnity, where, okay. where they would become friends and together they would, quote, rule the world or whatever you want to call it, is out the window. I think partly because in Double Indemnity, for those of you who've seen the movie, the main antagonist, protagonist, whatever, I guess, whatever you want to call him, didn't paralyze his boss.
His panic attack actually reminded me a lot of his post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, yeah?
From season 2 and 3. Just after that, he was freaking out about everything. It's just the way it was shot, it just reminded me kind of like a flash of that. When you have no control over your environment, there's just a level of fear. But, of course, he jumped right back into it.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was great because it almost was like it woke him up. Because then when we saw him afterwards, you know, I'm fine, the end of discussion. And then the next time we see him, he's considering, he's standing there at the top of the stairs. And she says, no work, no work. And he goes, yeah. And he almost fakes.
And the work comes to him.
Yeah. And then he's in it, man. He is back. He is Hank, as we've always wanted him to be. He's the guy that's got the bone and he won't let go of it. The
doctor. He's a Kirk. He's Captain Kirk.
Mm-hmm. But the rug is pulled from underneath him because, you know, he has that great line. I don't even know who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, and then
yeah, that was a little moment of.
Then Walt's follow up was, you know, that was the dagger because normally you wouldn't have seen that from Walt.
No,
yeah,
he, you know, because early on, as we talked about, he was lying and things like that,
and he was kind of a befuddling, you know, absent minded professor kind of guy.
Yeah.
Did you see his shirt? It had Hank's shirt had the mountains on it, and it said like Delbert. I don't know what that is, but I don't feel like anything's a mistake in this show. And I feel like, I mean, I'm still saying he ends up out in the woods, but perhaps he has all those guns.
Hank?
No, I'm going to say that Walter ends up out in the woods alone. But I think to get to where he's going, you know, perhaps he has to go through a line. And that's why he has that machine gun. I don't know, but I just don't, you know, what's your theories for why, you know, the mountains on the shirt, Delbert. Do you think that was just an awesome T-shirt they gave him?
I think that maybe Hank visited the Delbert Mountains once. I think that that's the. I think that there's a lot of significance placed on several things in the show. My brother just today pointed out to me in like one of the episodes last season or at the first part of the season, in the Madrigal Electromotive offices. The only letters you could see in one shot through curtains were Gale, G-A-L-E. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's lots of that stuff, but I don't think everything
Here's what I will say about that. You know, I'd be interested to read the scripts because, you know, these guys have said, like, we don't write scripts in the typical fashion where, you know, they say, like, you know, it's going to be up to the director to kind of put some stuff that they're like, no, we put everything in. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be interested to read them, partly because, you know, in season one, Vince, you know, this is interesting to learn about Vince. He felt like a really big failure because he was down in Albuquerque and he was literally doing this stuff, picking out shirts, picking out swatches of colors. Meanwhile, his writers back in California didn't know what the hell to do because he was so absent-minded and wasn't leading that team. Yeah. And he said, that was the biggest mistake of my life. And luckily, the writer strike saved him at that time because it allotted him the time necessary to refocus. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like as much as, you know, we can nitpick the shit out of all this stuff, Vince has kind of pulled back on some of it, knowing like, okay, story's most important. It doesn't matter what the hell the shirt is.
Well, and he's been interviewed many times, of course, about the show, and he's often said, you know, they'll ask him about specifics and why, like the Gale thing or something like that, and he'd say, you know, actually, no, that was just a happy accident. So I know for a fact he's even said it that
it sometimes it just happens, but we're all looking for it because it is so rich.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very layered and textured.
Well, what do you guys think about the kid playing with the car outside of the garage?
I thought that for me that was an echo of Drew.
Yeah, that's a little bit. Drew's riding around on a dirt bike.
That's what it was to me. It just brought that right back.
I feel like it's definitely foreshadowing. I mean, he bought Walter Jr. the really nice car, and then we see the car. I definitely feel like perhaps...
Whose kid was it?
We don't know,
but it is someone's
son. Foreshadowing what?
Foreshadowing Walter Jr.'s death or, you know, in a car accident perhaps. But I just feel like we got that one shot where the kid drove the car right up beside, like, Walt's car. Like, it was kind of like side by side.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the shots earlier in the season where when Walt got his new car. Mm-hmm. And they both pull up, and then they go back out, and then they both pull up, and Walt Jr.'s has his new Challenger.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
You know, what was interesting, kind of thinking about it now, with Hank's panic attacks or whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. it's a very big Achilles heel.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so if Walt really wants to expose that, he can get away every time because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but does Walt even know?
What's that?
Does Walt even know?
He doesn't necessarily know, I don't think, but if he studies him more, I mean, mm-hmm. there's certainly things that Walt knows about Hank, mm-hmm. and if he just digs a little bit further.
But wasn't it, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was great. I loved Hank being back. This is going to be good. Now we've got some conflict. We're going to have a nice...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited, but then his nuts were chopped off by Walt.
Why?
How?
Tread lightly.
Oh, yeah,
I think that to a guy like that, just, yeah, you think tread lightly? Watch this.
Let me punch you in the face again.
Exactly.
Until you don't have a face.
That's just going to egg him on.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice his voice change when he got to the tread lightly?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And he became Heisenberg.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but in this negotiation, I mean, okay, so can we start here? Did Hank in this one lose the round?
Did he lose the round?
Because he said, you know, get Skylar and the kids and we'll talk about this.
I think it's a tie.
I think we left early. Yeah, I think we're going to come back.
I don't think he lost. I don't think anybody won, though.
I'm not talking about the war. I'm talking about the round.
I'm just saying. I don't think anybody won the round.
Right, let us know what you guys think about on my side that Walt won this round.
You think he won just because he said tread lightly?
Yeah.
You just want him to win because he's the main character.
I think he did win. I think viewers leaving the scene feel like he got the last word. Because everybody in the audience
Okay, but
knows
did you see the last shot?
Doing.
The last shot was them two. Neither one of them backing down. Did you miss mm-hmm. the last shot?
They're at
neither
a standoff.
Exactly. But it's a stalemate.
Wait, I'm going to say that Walt lost this round. And this is why. This is why.
Okay, hold on.
No, this
Let him
is
have
why.
A say.
Quit broadcast okay. forever.
Hank has no conclusive, has only one piece of conclusive evidence, right? And barely at that, mm-hmm. that Walt is Heisenberg. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get Walt to admit that he's Heisenberg. And Walt, in threatening Hank, basically admits that he's Heisenberg. So no, while Walt isn't necessarily going to bring the kids to the house, he gave Hank what Hank wanted. Hank wanted him to confirm that he was Heisenberg, and he did.
I think the whole thing, Hank was trying to get him off his game because he wanted to get the measure of the man because he wanted, if this, professor that's, hapless.
So he
wanted
took the loss in order to win the war.
I don't even think any of it was a loss. I disagree with the supposition of your question.
All right.
Okay, well, at that one point, Walt says, what is the point? You can't pin it on me. And mm-hmm. even if you could, I'll be dead in 6 months, so I won't be sitting in prison. So what is the point? Because he wants to win?
Hank, he even says it. I think we heard it in the coming up. So I want to be the guy that gets him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the case that got him paralyzed. It's the case of his career.
Absolutely.
It's the case that got him ASAC.
And just like he went after Gus and nobody believed him, and the way he did that was right about that. He wants to be right about Heisenberg even more.
But here's the thing. Walt still hasn't dropped it on Hank that he paid for Hank's medical treatment with drug money.
Yeah.
And Hank is going to get pulled down too.
Yeah.
That's
going to be great.
I would give Walt the win if he had done that.
Yeah. Oh. But that's even going to make it hard because I think that's going to piss Hank off even more.
Yeah.
Not only did you do all this, you brought me into it.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's certainly a legacy to leave behind where you brought down your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a big legacy.
I mean, that destroys your family, though, too, if your brother-in-law is... And it kind of makes you look stupid that your own brother-in-law went under your nose for so long. Mm-hmm.
It's mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right.
But you could also be the one that brought down Heisenberg.
Yeah.
So, should we move it to news?
Move it to news. Let's get on the news. We are being a dead horse.
TV news.
All right. Well, a lot of the news we kind of spoke about, but there's a great article on the Hollywood Reporter. A lot of the stars this time around have been kind of doing a lot of press. I don't recall seeing a lot of it in the past. It's always kind of been Vince and Bryan Cranston, a little bit of Aaron Paul, but this time around, Laura, who plays Lydia, she's talking how her character is going to be even more colder.
How's that even possible?
Because she's going to die.
Yeah, that's how.
Well, you know, Aaron Paul teased that we'll see Skinny Pete and Badger. Well,
nice.
No surprises there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, things will get continue to get darker, and it's going to be explosive.
Yeah.
So nothing conclusive.
They're not going to give anything
they're
up.
They're not going to give you anything. Real.
Yeah. Read this article for the ending of Breaking Bad.
All he keeps saying is, I think the fans will be satisfied and there will be blood. That's pretty much the two things that he said.
Yeah. So, we're obviously excited. So with that, should we get into predictions?
Unless anybody got anything else for news. Oh, we're moving on to predictions.
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
Well, we already said a few. I think Hank is going to tell Jesse about everything he knows about Walt, and that's going to cause Jesse to want to go.
Real fast, while this kind of prediction slash newsy type stuff, what do you think of the Emmys? What do we got coming up?
I think we have Best Supporting... the Emmys coming up.
Well,
good prediction.
Dean Norris for Best Supporting.
I think they're very shiny. I don't know.
Best Supporting Actor. Who do you think is going to take that? Because we got some choices there.
Yeah, I actually don't even know the nominations, so go ahead.
Aaron and I think Jonathan.
Jonathan
Banks. Nice. Yeah. But not Dean.
See, I feel like Dean should be.
Mm-hmm. Nominated, but I don't think...
Well, I guess because they haven't seen this, last eight episodes, but I feel
both of them...
Laura, who plays Lydia... Both begin with L's, so it's confusing to me. She said, I want Jonathan to win, because obviously Aaron already has some.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be great if Jonathan won.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other nominees, though, so I can't, handicap whatever.
Right. And Jonathan said this is the role of his career.
It is.
And it was. And, Dead Freight is nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yeah, nice.
I mean...
That's great.
That was amazing. That was that was up there.
I won't talk about Dead Freight on the air.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. What does that mean?
It means that while it is very, very cool, as an episode of Breaking Bad, I think it is a very weak episode.
Whoa.
Not the greatest
comments
choices.
To Matt.
Yeah. Send all your hateful comments
That's how
to
I
me.
Felt about Fly.
All right. Well,
so seven episodes left.
Okay. So that's your
Who's got some predictions?
I think that Skyler is going to orchestrate a plan to kill Jesse because she sees him as, being a loose end. And I think it will backfire and she may end up killing Walt Jr.
Why not kill Lydia? She's the more immediate.
I think she's going to kill Lydia, too. I think
she's going to go on a rampage.
I think she's going to try to tie up loose ends for the family.
I think that either Skylar's in witness protection or she's dead. I think Hank and Marie are raising the kids. I think that Walt, because Walt Jr. is going to die too. Is that what you're thinking?
What are you thinking?
I think that Walt is on the run from the Czech Republic mob. And that's why he has a massive gun. Because they're all looking for him to get his meth making skills. Once it's exposed that he's Heisenberg, the greatest meth maker in the world, everyone is going to want a piece of him as a hostage. They're going to want to take him hostage and force him to make meth or force him to teach their people to make meth. So if he says no,
Jesse too.
Yeah, I know there's Jesse too. Goddamn it! But I think that that confrontation could come before the hair grows back. Before the flash forward timeline.
I think, because he's always made the rationalization, Walt has always made the rationalization, and it's always about his family. He did this for his family, I think in the end, he's going to do something. He's going to fight the mob, the Czechoslovakian mob. Is that what we're going to call him? The Czech mob?
Yeah, the Czech mob.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to try to save his family. By going after them and having the gunfight and whatever, and he'll die because he's going to die anyway.
Yeah, he will.
So,
I mean, are they going to Europe? We got that little part in the beginning.
I don't know. It depends on their budget, baby.
Business trip. I've kind of intertwined my predictions throughout. I do want to say to fans, before you take your piss in all of this and all of our theories, no, because it's true, you guys do, and you're quick to jump on all this stuff, know that we literally watch the episode and we go right up after. So you know what? We're only starting the discussion, but you guys get to continue it, so don't all of a sudden think that, whatever. We're
just
trying
continue
to be
the discussion.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah, just continue it.
We
want to
hear
just,
the theories.
Yeah, exactly. So just bear that in mind. And, we do this for you so that way we're up the next morning for you guys while you're driving to work or at work, as the case is with many of you guys, so you guys can listen to us, and we try to make them longer so that way we can help you get through your day rather than just give you a nice 20-minute podcast that doesn't have anything in it. So you know what? Bear that in mind as you rate and comment.
Nice caveat.
I'm just saying.
All right.
You know, because, all right. All right, you really want me to go on a rant?
No, I don't. Nobody wants you to go on a rant. No, we don't need it.
Give this car to your car wash professional. And have an A1 day.
Have an A1 day.
Let everybody know where they can find you.
Cinematic Escape.
Oh, that's thanks, not mine. Bill.
That's hers.
Come on. Yeah.
Bing my blog, Cinematic Escape, or I'm at Cinematic Escape on Twitter.
Okay.
AfterBuzz TV, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff. And website, of course.
Okay.
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the Low Winter Sun and Under the Dome after shows.
Well, you can't follow me anywhere, but you can find me at SerialBuddies.com.
There you go.
See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.